From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Yvonne Kremery. Women's hockey fever took hold in Southeast Alaska this month as the best teams in the world play for Olympic gold in Beijing. That's because one Czech hockey star has a huge, close-knit Huna family rooting for her. Claire Strempel reports for KTOO.
The Czech women's hockey team made its debut at the Olympics this year. They lost to the United States in the quarterfinals last week, but their strong preliminary games and an early lead against the U.S. in the quarterfinals made some noise in the women's hockey world.
They lead the United States 1-0 in a shocker.
The expectation is that Team USA would be dominating at this point in the game. They aren't.
Elena Mills is the Czech team captain. She's married to Thomas Mills, who grew up in Huna and Juneau. They now live together in Russia, where he teaches while she travels to play hockey. Elena's mother-in-law, Jane Lindsay, lives in Juneau.
I'm not surprised that she is in the Olympics. I'm actually a little surprised it's taken as long as it has.
She says one thing that strikes her in Elena's story is how she committed her whole life to playing hockey. She even moved to the United States in high school so she could be on a team.
There was pretty much no opportunity for her to excel at the level she needed in the Czech Republic for as a woman, as a young lady. So I think I just really admire her for being at the place that she's at.
The family couldn't join her in Beijing this year because of COVID-19 precautions. But that doesn't stop them from streaming the games, which are really late at night because of the time difference.
The Huna family and all of us are just kind of, we're all over Facebook every time she plays. I'll get on to the phone and be like, I can't believe she just made that shot, or, you know, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous.
Valerie Wheeler is Elena and Thomas's cousin in Huna. She says Elena's Olympic journey has brought her huge family together.
Even though we aren't face-to-face the whole time, we have our phones up and we're FaceTiming and we're wearing our number 9 Elena Mills jerseys.
Wheeler first met Elena when the couple stayed with her to meet family in Huna.
She just, like, blended right in.
Wheeler says they went casting for trout, and she was especially happy that Elena embraced Tlingit foods she prepared, like herring egg salad and canned cockles.
So she ate whatever foods we had, which is cool, because when you come in from the outside, a lot of people will be, like, who are not familiar with our way of life, don't have a desire to try different things, and she's very open.
So Wheeler says seeing Elena achieve her dreams on national television is really moving.
I totally leaked tears because it's like, how awesome is that to have somebody representing this? You know, she's married into our family, but instantly she's like one of us.
A lot of the family is concentrated in Huna, but many members are spread out across Alaska and the lower 48. And during games, they're all tuned in. Facebook messages to a cousin in Kansas, chats between Juneau and Russia. Elena's father-in-law lives really remotely on Excursion Inlet. Wheeler says he doesn't get the games out there, but he's always got his team hat on and stands by for text updates from the family when Elena plays.
The bottom line, the whole thing is, like, our hearts are full of love, excitement, and pride for her. And it's so cool because we are all spread out, you know, all over the U.S., and we are all feeling the same thing. You can't quite explain it, but it's pretty powerful, pretty awesome. And it's like she's one person connecting all of us with all these feelings and emotions.
Elena Hill's team won't medal this year. They were eliminated after a loss to the U.S. team. But the Hill family, from Huna to Juneau to Kansas to Russia, was with her the whole way. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Claire Strempel.
Moderna announced recently that it's starting trials for a new mRNA vaccine for HIV, the virus that causes AIDS. I sat down with Robin Lutz, the executive director of Alaskan AIDS Assistance Association, known as 4AIS, to talk about what the prospect of a vaccine means in Alaska. What do you encounter at 4AIS that other HIV awareness and prevention and support organizations across the country might not encounter just because of Alaska's unique landscape or political landscape?
We have clients across the state, some of whom live in super remote communities. So, you know, we have people who come in twice a year to get their HIV medical care with a series of transportation, like by first they start on a boat and then they go on a small plane, right? And then they get on a bigger plane because they live way out in a rural area. There is a lot of hesitation out in general, but especially outside of Juneau and Anchorage, There's a lot of hesitation on the part of folks who are HIV positive to share their status. For good reason, there's still a lot of misinformation out there and a lot of stigma in many communities. So yeah, I worked for over a decade in New York City in HIV services, and I think one of the biggest differences I see is that there's much more isolation up here as far as being able to share being a person living with HIV. We have many, many folks who live here who come to us for services, and we're the only people who know they're positive. It's us and their doctor, and that's it. And that's a really difficult thing to hold.
So what do you personally think of the news of a potential vaccine?
You know, I've been working in HIV for almost 25 years. I've lost a lot of people that I care a lot about. And there's any time we come to a new kind of hurdle in the epidemic, there's always this sense of new hope, which is great. I think, you know, in the public health community, in the scientific community, there's this kind of expectation right now and understanding that we're on the cusp of a pretty quick increase in our ability to deal with viruses. The hope is tempered by the same things that we face with other prevention strategies we already have, right? And I think with the vaccine, the thing that is always the concern is access, right? So cost and access. Once it is available, who's going to be able to get it? What will the messaging be around it? Are the same communities who are always highly stigmatized and underserved going to continue to experience that? For those of us who've worked in HIV a long time, like HIV is just such a complex virus. Like the expectations, I think, have been low over the last decade or so because we know the science is not there yet, which I think is really, that is a feeling that's changing around the mRNA vaccine. This might be the science that works. So like every time we know things like that, it should reduce stigma. And I think with a vaccine, again, it allows the public health lens to shift towards community, right? And away from like this individual thought of, you know, you are responsible for keeping other people safe from HIV if you're HIV positive. You know, that's not realistic. It's not fair. It's stigmatizing. We're a long way from a cure for HIV. And I think, you know, I think that for me, that's the day I'll really, really celebrate. But having a vaccine, like, you know, like I have a 3.5-year-old, like it would be incredible to know that they could grow up vaccinated against HIV.
So looking towards the future, as we may have a possible inoculation against HIV, what do you worry will be lost in our collective remembering of the HIV epidemic?
I feel like so much has been lost already. Anyone who is under 40 at this point has grown up with HIV as just something that exists, right? And we are starting to lose a lot of our long-time survivors of HIV. We're both losing kind of the living history of people who were around in the early epidemic, and we're losing the collective memory of what the early HIV epidemic felt and looked like in the U.S. The majority of people who I talk to about HIV don't have an understanding of the devastation the virus caused. In the 80s and 90s, HIV has really retreated from being a focus of like public concern, which is hard to see. It's hard to see a lot of folks who, you know, go through high school without HIV education. It's not uncommon. So, you know, I think with the vaccine, it would be a wonderful thing. I think we're just moving towards a time when there's more people who think of HIV as just a chronic condition. I think that thought would increase as the vaccine became available. It'd be a huge public health stride. I think the worry is always that if we're not still working on issues of stigma and issues of access for people who are living with HIV, then the isolation and the stigma doesn't change. And if it's not something that is normalized outside of just getting vaccinated, it's not going to have the same effect for folks who have been living through the epidemic.
Thank you so much, Robin. That was the executive director of 4ACE, Robin Lutz, discussing the prospect of an HIV vaccine. From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Yvonne Crumry.